one of our neighbors from down the hall asked me that we should learn today as a schus for a whole bunch of chaylim. So I said I will announce it in advance. One woman is Ita Bas Chaya Shmuel. Oh no, Ita Bas Chaya, and one person is Shmuel Ben Ita Atiel. A third person is Matus Yochaim Ben Atiel. A girl is Tablus Tova Bas Gohar. Another person who's not well is Daniel Aharon Chaim Ben Ruth. You should all learn as a schus for refuah for these people. Okay. And more begins with the din of Tumas Kohanim. A kohen is not permitted to be metame lemeis. Dushach in the end of Yeridaya quotes from the Rekeach. Rekeach usually has all Kabbalah things, but once in a while he has halacha. The Shach quotes la halacha about Eshes Kohen Uberis. A girl is married to a kohen and she's pregnant. She doesn't know. There's a 50-50 chance. It may be a baby boy, maybe a baby girl. And Rashi quotes from the Tanoim on the Pasuk, Em of Yamarta, the Hazak Dodam Alaktanim. You're not permitted to be Mitami a kohen cotton, even though he's before Bar Mitzvah, but you're not allowed to be Mitami him. So the question is whether the Eshes Kohen Uberis is permitted to attend a funeral, because maybe she's causing the Uber. Maybe the Uber will turn out to be a boy. A bas kohen is permitted to be metame lemeisim. B'nei aharon v'lo b'nos aharon. Maybe it'll turn out to be a boy, and then the pregnant mother will be in violation of the din of lahazak dala malaktan. So the Shach quotes the Rekeach, who is basing himself on a gemara in the end of Yevamos, that you have a sfek sfek. It really means a roiv over here. It's a 50-50 chance it may be a girl. And even if it's going to be a boy, there's a chance that it may be a nephil. It may die before it's born. So that's good. The Gemara calls that a svek sveka. It doesn't mean a svek sveka. It means it's a roif. Start off as 50-50. And then we say it's not even 50-50. So the Mogen Avraham lived after the Shach. So the Mogen Avraham quotes, Mogen Avraham's commentary on Arachayim. The Shach is a commentary on Yerideya. So the Mogen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos, there's one simon about chinuch haktanim, that you're not allowed to let the children be machal Shabbos. The parents have to see to it that the children observe Shabbos. So the Mogen Avraham quotes that Shach b'shem the Rekeach, and he asked the Kasha that the din is that the baby is considered balua inside the mother's body. There are two dinim. There's a din of beis hastorim, there's a din of balua. So let's say somebody's tameh and he sticks his finger inside my mouth. So that's beis hastorim, inside the mouth. So maga beis hastorim is not metameh, but masa in the beis hastorim is metameh. There's tumas maga, there's tumas masa. Let's say you have meat in the A&P that have no shechita. So the veil is metameh b'magu b'masa. See, if the piece of the veil is not covered, is not wrapped up, and I touch the meat itself, that's metameh b'maga. But usually the piece of meat in the A&P is going to be wrapped up, so you can't do maga unless you take off the wrapper. So what if I pick up the piece of meat? Even though there's no maga, but there's masa, so that's metameh. So maga beis hastorim doesn't count based on a posik. But masa beis hastorim is metame. But if it's balua means further in. Let's say somebody is tome and he touches the inside of my nostril. The inside of the nostril is beis hastorim. But Rabbi Kevega writes on Yerideya, higher up inside the nostril where you can't even reach, can't even put your finger there, that's already called balua, further in. Further in it is, it's called balua. So balua is kemisha eno. Balua is considered kemisha eno. There's no tumas maga, there's no tumas masa. The Uber inside, let's say the Uber is dead, and the mother's walking around, so the Uber is not metame, because the Uber is inside the mother's rechem. So whatever is balua is kemisha'eno. And if the mother goes to a funeral and the Uber is alive, so she's not being metame the Uber. Balua is kemisha'eno, it's not mekabeltum, it's not metame. So that's the Mogen Avraham's kasha. Why did the Rekeach consider this an issue? Why is there a problem even if the Uber is a Zachar, he's Balua inside the mother's body, so he's not Mekabel Tumah. So it's Yodua that Rabbi Chaim Oizer and Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman both give the same answer. They happen to be married to two sisters. Chaim Moser's first wife died the day that she had a baby. They had a bris. They had a baby boy the day of the bris, she died. So then he remarried. So his second wife was a sister-in-law of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. They were two sisters, the daughters of the rabbi in Shavuot. So they both say the same story, that the Rekech apparently thinks that there's an Yisr for the Kohen to come in contact with a mace, even if it's in a way where Api Alocha is not the Kabbal Tumah, like Balua. So, of course, the Kohen, if it's a Zohar, so of course, the Zohar is in the same room with the mace. So you're not allowed to. Not only is there an Issa for going to be Mekabel Tumah from a mace, even to come close to a mace is also an Issa. So that's a question. They mean to say, according to the Rekech, there are two dinim. There's one din not to be Mekabel Tumah, and one din not to be Miskarev to a mace, or the whole Issa only is not to be Miskarev to a mace. So that's a lot to discuss. What's the din? The Kohen is permitted to be metame to the seven relatives, the parents, the father, the mother, the siblings, brother, the sister, the children, the son, and the daughter, and to the wife. The Rambam writes, I think we discussed it this year, the Rambam writes that the din that the Kohen is metame le'ishto is only midirabbanan. Menatori, he's not allowed to be metame le'ishto. So how do they allow him midirabbanan to be metame le'ishto? So the Rambam quotes a Gemara in Yevamos. They declared it as if it's a mace mitzvah. There is such a Gemara. It's a hard Gemara to understand. The Ravid says there is no such Gemara. The Gemara in Yevamos is talking, but the Kohen is only married to his wife, Midrabbanan. Let's say he married a Yisayma, whose father is not alive, and the girl is a Ketana, so she can't be a Mekabel of Rom Kiddushim. So they made Midrabbanan a Takana that the mother or the older brothers can be Mekabel Kiddushim, to marry off the sister if she's a Ketana. The Ketana cannot marry herself off, even Midrabbanan. But he's Yu Ima V'Acheha. If the mother or the older brothers marry her off, that's a Takana Midrabbanan. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa that in such a case, that the Ketana is married to a Kohen and the Ketana dies, so the husband is Metami to her. But Minatorah there's an Issa to be Metami. He's only married Midrabbanan. How is that permissible? So the Gemara says, Asuwa Kemeis Mitzvah. So, it's a Gemara like that. You have to understand Pshat and the Gemara. How does that work? That's the Rabbis Kasha. There is no such Gemara that says what the Rambam said. The Rambam says that every Kohen who's married is only Bitami Leishta Midirabbana. That doesn't say in the Gemara. That's the Rabbis Kasha. Where did he get that idea? So we said that in the Gemara there is a Machloikas whether Habal Yerush Ishtoi and Berak Yeshnechna, whether Habal Yerush Ishtoi is that a Din Daraisa or a din de rabbanon. That's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi. How to paskin la halacha. The Rambam paskins both in Hilchas Ishus as well as in Hilchas Nachlas that Habal Yerush Ishta is only with the rabbanon, and the Rabbi paskins Habal Yerush Ishta is their rice. So the Ragachover writes in his Sefer, Tzofnas Paneach was the name that Para gave to Yosef. Tzofnas Paneach. The Ragachover's name was Yosef. So he felt that he's discovering a lot of chidushim. Tzofnas Paneach is megala stumas. So the Ragachover thought that he was succeeding in discovering very deep insights. He calls it sefer Tzofnas Paneach. So he writes, what's the shaila whether Habal Yorish Hesishta is their Isa the Rabbana? The husband is the closest relative to the wife. So he said, the answer is, how can you say a Bal Yerush Ishta? The minute that the wife dies, they're not married anymore. Let's say one was married and they divorced his wife and then she dies. Once she dies, once he divorces her, they're not married anymore. So even if the husband never divorced his wife, but the wife dies, once she dies, they're not related anymore. If you have a brother and a sister, even if one of them died, it's still a brother and a sister. If it's a blood relative, a parent, a sibling, a child, a blood relative, even if the person dies, but still they're related. But the husband and a wife, once one of them dies, so they're not married anymore. So that was the argument in the Gemara. That's what the Rogat Shabbat, that was the Machlekes, where the Habal Yerushas Ishtas, the Raisa, the Rabbanon, maybe, so the Rama Paskins, that it's only with the Rabbanon. You can't say Habal Yerushas Ishtas, the Raisa, because the minute the wife dies, they're not related anymore. So for the same argument, you should say, the Baal can't be Mechuyim and Ator to be Metamil Yishtas, because the minute she dies, they're not related anymore. That terminates the issues. And the rabbi holds like the other shita, that at the time of death, not after she dies, then the husband yarshins, and after she dies, then the husband is mukhev to me. At the moment of death, when before the issues was broken, at the moment of death, it's the din of Yerusha sets in. At the moment of death, the din is mukhev to me. Whatever. It's a machlekes, the Ramam and the Raivid, where the Habal Yerush Resisht is the Raisa, the Rabbanon, machlekes Satanoim, and the machlekes, the Ramam and the Raivid had a Paskin. And then perhaps based on that, the Ragat Shavah says, the Ramam came up with the Chiddush, the Rabban the Tamilish is only with the Rabbanon. Yeah, what's the din? It says, the Kohen is, if the Kohen's sister died, you have to have, first of all, a Hoysalish, she was never married, and number two, she's still a Psulo. So if you have the two conditions, then it says lo yitama. How do you translate lo yitama? The kohen is permitted to be metame to the sister, the kohen is obligated. So that's a machloikis, the very beginning of Masechah Soita, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, machloikis Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Lo yitama is a choiva. The Gemara says this machloikis, whether lo yitama is rishus or lo yitama is a choiva, was an old machlekes bizman abayis. It was a machlekes. Rabbi Kiva was basically, Rabbi Kiva lived through the Churban Abayis, and he functioned mainly after the Churban Abayis. But this was a machlekes in a few generations, whether lo yitama is a rishus or a chayv, and we pass lo yitama is a chayv. The coin is mechuyev to be metame. Why? That's a simon of kavod ames. The Rambam and the Rif and the Goenim and the Mechaber Paskin, that the Avela Shiva is only with the Rabbanon for the first day of Shiva is their Isa. The Ramah Paskins for Ashkenazim, that even Avela Samrishan and Shiva is also only with the Rabbanon. But the Mechaber Paskins for the Svardim and Afkemina Laloch in a rare case, that Avela Samrishan of Shiva is their Isa. So the Rambam writes, where is the Mokar and Chumash? If it's a Dinder Isa, where is there a Mokar and Chumash that you Mukhiv to show Kovar Ameis? By observing Avelis, it says it's this pasuk lo yitama, because we understand lo yitama is a chayva. The kohen is mechuyev to be metamil amesim. That's nihug Avelis, and the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avel kama chamura hi mitzvus Avelis and nitris miponach isa tumas kohanim. If it's designed kravim, the kohen is mechuyev to be metamil to the meis. That's a nihug Avelis. What is the new Gavelus? Tosis writes in Psochim, Tosis writes in the first parak of Psochim, that the mitzvah to be metame lemeis on the part of the Kohen is only on the weekdays, on Shabbos. Let's say one of the seven relatives dies on Shabbos. So the Kohen has to leave the room. He's not allowed to be there. He only has a heter and a mitzvah to be metame to the meis. If it's on the weekdays, so it's shaykh to do a kvura. So it's considered as if he's misasik in the kvura, but on Shabbos he's not being misasik in any kvura. So he's not allowed, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, not allowed to be mitamei to the Zayin Kareim on Shabbos because he's not mitapal in the kvura. Gemara points out that there are quite a few differences. The Rambam has a whole list in Hilchos Ishus, many differences between Arusa and Nesua. By us, we don't have any period of time. We have 2 minutes. The Chosin gives a ring, says, "How am I? Kudeshesli, the girl is Arusa." And then you read the Ksuba, how long does that take? 2 minutes. And then there's dating under the chuppah, and they're saying the bracha, so then she becomes a Nesua. So by us, she's only an Arusa for less than 5-10 minutes. But in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, till the days of the Gadim, there used to be a long pause of a few months in between Eris and Nisuin. The Gadim were the ones who changed the practice that you should move up the Nisuin right away. shouldn't have a pause between Eris and Nisuin. So Rabbeinu Tam, in order to maintain a Havdalah between Eris and Nisuin, so he recommended you should read the Ksuba in between. That's what it says in Hagos Maimini on the bottom of the page of the Rambam. Hagos Maimini always presents the opinion of the Balei HaTosfos on all the topics that the Rambam quotes on the page. The other commentaries on the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah, the Kesa Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, and the Mishlah Melech, they're all commentaries on the Rambam. They'll explain what the Rambam says in the Mishnah. And the Hagos Maimini is not at all a commentary on the Rambam. It just tells you what the Balei HaTosfos have to say about all these dinim. So the Hagos Maimini quotes this, that the practice to read the Ksuba under the chuppah in between Eris and Nisuin is to maintain a little bit of a break, a little bit of a pause between Eris and Nisuin, because in the days of the Tanaim used to be a 12-month wait in between, or a couple of months, maximum 12 months, a couple of months in between. This mitzvah, lo yitamor, is a mitzvah of kavod abrius. The ikar din of kavod abrius is kavod achayim, to show kavod to living people. Pasuk says, even, you even have an obligation to show kavod amesim, even. Unfortunately, a lot of times we're not so careful about kavod abrius when the people are alive, and after they die, then all of a sudden we have more respect for them. That's not right. The chiyuv lo yitama means there's even a din of kavod amesim. Kavod achayim is more important than kavod amesim. There's a gemara ksubis in the second parak. When there's a conflict between kavod abrius of kavod achayim, kavod amesim, Kavod HaChaim takes precedence. In the days of the Gemara, they had highways, but they didn't have red light and green light. So what do you do if you have a crossroads, a group of people going in one direction, a group of people going in the other direction? Who has the right to go first when you bump into the crossroads? So the Gemara has a case. A group of people are taking a mace to bury in the cemetery. Another group of people are dancing and cheering up the Chosan Kala, who just got married. So that's called Kavod HaChaim, and this is called Kavod HaMesim. So the Gemara says, Kavod HaChaim takes precedence over Kavod HaMesim, and the Shita Mekubetzes extrapolates from that Gemara. It's not only a din by a Chosan and a funeral. In general, that's a din. Kavod HaChaim takes precedence over Kavod HaMesim. Or points out that this din habal yarishes ishtoi, the din habal mitamel ishto, only applies after nisuin. According to the Rambam, everything is the rabbanon. Habal yarishes ishto is only the rabbanon. Habal mitamel ishto is only the rabbanon. The Gemara has other nafkeminas la'aloch between erisin and nisuin. The chiyuv shibud shirksus v'yoino only sets in after nisuin. During erisin, there is no chiyuv. Arusa, if a girl is a bas koyin, she's permitted to eat truma. But if a girl is not a bas koyin, but she marries a koyin, then the pasuk says in Chumash that the arusa achelas betruma. With the rabbanon, they prohibited an arusa from eating truma until you have nisuin. So the Gemara discusses two different reasons why they prohibited an arusa from eating truma. And Afkamina Sladina between the two reasons. So the Gemara has differences between Eris and the Nisuin. This is one of them, that the Baal is Matamili Ishta, the Baal is Yerushas Ishta, is only Ishta Nisua, doesn't apply to Ishta Arusa. Then the Chumash gives you the list of people the Kohenim are not permitted to marry. So Kohenim not allowed to marry a Grusha, okay. And the Pasuk uses the expression, Isha Grusha Me Isha, the woman is divorced from her husband, Me Isha. Me'ishallah. And the Mishnah in the end of Gittin raises the question, of course Grusha Me'isha, the only one who can divorce her is a husband. In Hebrew, in Yiddish, you say the woman is a Grusha, you don't say Grusha Me'isha. So the Tanoim understood Isha Grusha Me'isha, even though it's only a Reach HaGet. The husband gave her a get and he says, Harep Mugureshes Me'meni, I don't want to be responsible anymore to support you, to give you shekses v'yonah, but I don't allow you to remarry anybody else. That's not a get. That's not a valid get. But she's still considered, that's a reach, I guess, she's asura l'kuhuna. And the simple pshat in Gemara, we discussed it the other day, simple pshat, that it's a din deraisa, like the Magen Mishnah writes. The Rambam writes that the whole din of reach, I guess, is only an asmachta midrabanan. The Magen Mishnah writes that the poshim pshat in Gemara is that it's a din deraisa. We mentioned that the Shagasari has a tshuva, and the tshuva is hachadoshes. But he thinks that then the Magen Mishnah is right. That simple pshat in Gemara, the reach I get, is a din deraisa. Nikid ashto ki eslechem alakecha hu makriv. What does it mean? Nikid ashto. So the Gemara has in the middle of Gittin and Perek HaNezokin, the Gemara has nikid ashto that the kohen gets the first aliyah. So the Mishnah says the kohen gets the first aliyah mid the rabbanim epnei darkei shalom. There shouldn't be any fights in shul. Then the Gemara says, why is it only Darkei Shalom? It's a din deraisa v'kidashto to be mechabed the coin to get the first aliyah. Chol dovash v'kedusha levtorach rishon levorach rishon v'lita mana yafa rishon. And they used to have conferences of rabbanim in Europe. So the Chofetz Chaim was a coin, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a Levi, and they used to be mechabed. The Chofetz Chaim spoke first, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik spoke after. Coin Levi, Yisrael v'kidashto chol dovash v'kedusha. So the Gemara asks, well, why does the Mishnah say that the kohen gets the first aliyah is only to prevent fighting in the shuls? It's a din deraisa v'kidashtam. So the Gemara explains that ben Torah the kohen can be moichel on his kavod, but with the Rabbanan we don't permit the kohen to be moichel, because it may happen that on one Shabbos he'll be moichel on his kavod because he's friendly with the family. They're having a neufruf, or they're having a bar mitzvah, something. And the next week he won't be moichel on his kavod, and that'll cause friction. How come if he's moichel to this group and not moichel to the other? So that's how the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that the kohen gets the first aliyah. That's a real din deraisa. But when a derek can be moichel on his kavod, the rabban we don't permit him. There's a Tosfos in Chulin on that Pezayin where Tosfos says that's only an asmach. Bikidashto, that the kohen gets the first aliyah, is not really a din deraisa. I think Morris says in Gittin that it's a din deraisa. It means that it's a derabbanan. There are a few cases, a few Gemaras like that, where the Gemara says a certain din is a din deraisa, and Tosfos says it's not to be taken literally. It's only an asmach to me derabbanan. Yeah. Who are these women that the kohen is not allowed to marry? So grusha, even a reach I get, the kohen is not allowed to marry. What's a definition of a halola? If a kohen marries a grusha, so that all the children will be halolim. If it's a girl, it'll be a halola. If it's a boy, it'll be a halola. Halola means empty, vacuum, empty. There's no kedushas kuna at all. Halola, halola, not allowed to eat truma. A halola is allowed to marry a grusha. He's emptied out. Doesn't have any kedushas kuna at all. So that's a kohen gadol who marries an almana, even though a kohen hedyot is permitted to marry almana, but kohen gadol not allowed to marry an almana. So the kohen gadol marries an almana, the children will be halal. Yeah, what exactly is a zayna? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam, who takes a stand in Yevamos, it's a big machlokes. They say zayna hamura bater, big machlokes satanaim. So the Rambam paskens. A zayna is only if the woman was nivul al apostle. Let's say a Jewish woman was sleeping with an ochri, or an evet kenaini, or a cholo. A Jewish woman is permitted to marry a cholo. Even a kohenis is permitted to marry a cholo. A kohen is not permitted to marry a chalolo, but a kohenis is permitted to marry a cholo. Zeta gomer. But still, that's called nivul al apostle. If a woman was married to a cholol and then the husband died, she's an almana. So normal almana is permitted to marry a kohen, only not allowed to marry a kohen gadol. But the woman who was living with the cholol becomes nivul al pasalom. And if a woman didn't observe taras hamishpacha and she had tashmish when she was a nido, that's a nisa kores. That's not called a zayna. So the Rambam writes all amadato. The upshot of the story is that it doesn't depend how serious the Avera was that she did, even if she didn't do an Avera at all. The woman was living with a cholo. That's Heta Gomer. It depends whether Nivul or the Pasala, whether the husband has a shame psul. So even if they violated Taras HaMishpacha, which is a Nisa Kares, but the husband didn't have a shame psul, she was a niva. That's not called a zayna. So that's what the Rambam writes. A zayna is nivala l'pasala. If she was nivala to akum, eved, cholol, mamzer, so the woman becomes a zayna. The Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer recommends that since there are some rishonim who paskan like the other tana, so we should, let's say a girl sleeps with a different boy every week. She goes to college, and every week she's very careful, only Jewish boys. If she sleeps with a goy, she's never a little apostle, she's a zayna. She's very careful, only Jews, but every week somebody else. If she has a boyfriend, 1 year she has one boyfriend, next year she has a different boyfriend. So that's not called choladeus. That the Gemara says pan habal apnuya. If they're living together biznus, they're not married. So there's one tana Rab Leza holds asor zayna. Whenever a woman has tashmish, not out of marriage, she's not married with the boy. Rab Leza sheet is asor zayna. And we have the Giras and the Gemara les lachosh lahad Rab Leza. We don't pasken like Rab Leza. But the Beis Shmuel recommends we should be machma like the sheet of the other Tana, who says if every week she sleeps with someone else, that's zayna kipshuta, like a prostitute. So then she's also asura lakuna. So that's in the Shulchan Aruch, it says it's mutar, and the Beis Shmuel recommends what should be machmer for the other, for the sheet of the smag, and the smag who passing like the other Tana. There is an ibaydalai pshita in the Gemara in Yevamos. What if a Jewish woman was married to a non-Jewish man and they had a daughter? So the girl is Jewish, the mother's Jewish, or the child is Jewish. But the question is, the girl's father was a nochri. Is she mutaris to marry a kohen? So that's an ibaydalai pshita in the Gemara. And Ashkenazim are machmer on that. Some of the Svardim are mekel, but Ashkenazim are machmer on that. That's an ibayd leib shita. So if the girl's father was a nochri, even though the mother was Jewish, she didn't need any geiris, the child didn't need geiris. A geiris is not allowed to marry a kohen, but here the girl didn't need any geiris, the mother is Jewish. But since the father was a nochri, so we assume that she's a sura. So if the word v'kidashtoi on the level of the rice, it doesn't mean v'kidashtoi to be mechabed the koyim. That's only the rabbanon. So what is the implication of v'kidashtoi? So the Gemara has a comment in Yevamos on that. It's v'kidashtoi bal korchoi. What does it mean v'kidashtoi bal korchoi? Let's say the koyim marries a grusha. The koyim marries a geiris. So Bezna has an obligation to pressure him to divorce his wife. The Kiddush the Bal Korcha goes back on the previous pasuk. Kohen and Allah marries Zayna Chalalu a Grusha, and if he did the Kiddush, though, see to it that he should divorce his wife. The Kiddush the Bal Korcha. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be mitame even to the seven relatives. Why not? So the simple reading of the Gemara in Moed Katan, Gemara Moed Katan, third parak. Perigel Megalchan has all the most of the dinim of Avelus appear in the third perik in Moed Kod. Perigel Megalchan. The Sefer Hasidim writes that just like there's a concept of Meis Mitzvah, that a Kohen is not allowed to, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be Metame even to the seven relatives, but a Meis Mitzvah he's obligated to be Metame. So the Sefer Hasidim writes, there are some prokim in the Gemara that have the status like a meis mitzvah. So he says, the mesichtas in kochim, nobody ever learns. Zochim and menachas, people don't learn. In Eilu Megalchim, people don't learn about the dinim of Avelu. So the Sefer Chassidim says, a special mitzvah to learn those prokim, because those prokim are like a meis mitzvah. The Chassam Sefer has in a tshuva that someone asked him a shayla in Ilchus Avelu. So the minigah, he lived in Hungary. So the minig there was, you wouldn't learn Hilchus Avelus. It's a bad simon. So you would wait till someone in your family dies, and you're sitting shiva. Then when one is sitting shiva, he's going to go through Hilchus Avelus. So the Chassam Sofer got a shayla in Hilchus Avelus, and he waited a couple of years till somebody died in his family, it wasn't relevant anymore to the one who sent the shayla. So then when he was in Avela, so he learned Tilchus Avela, so he wrote a tshuva. So strange thing. So Rav Soloveitchik would sometimes give shiurim on the Gemara Tilchus Avela. So we used to have an yeshiva of Mendel Zaks, was the Bach. Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. He married Chafetz Chaim lost his first wife, and then he remarried a younger woman. So he had the daughter from the second wife was married by Mendel Zaks. That was the youngest of the children of the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Mendel Zaks was an old man. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they told Shimon Peres, who was the Rosh HaMemshalah, he was the prime minister at that time. So they told him that the Chafetz Chaim's daughter just moved to Eretz Yisrael. So it's impossible. How can it be? The Chafetz Chaim was so old, he doesn't have any children alive. So he told him, this is a daughter from the second marriage. She must have been around 80 when he gave birth to that daughter. So Rav Mendel Zaks was upset why Rabbi Soloveitchik was giving shiurim on Hilchos Aveilus, because the Chasam Sefer writes such a minig. And Rav Soloveitchik said, the Sefer Chasim says it's a special mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, like a mace mitzvah. Not everybody has the Hungarian minhagim that the Chasam Sefer mentions. Chasam Sefer himself was not a Hungarian. He was a Yekke. He signs all of his tshuvas. He signs off Moshe HaKotten mi Frankfurt. He was born and brought up in Frankfurt. But then when his Rebbe, he was a Talmud of Nosson Adler. So when his Rebbe was kicked out of Frankfurt, they chased him out of town, because the Yekkes don't like any changes. So Rav Nosson Adler was changing his pronunciation. He used to daven Havara Sfardit, real Sfardit, like the Teimanim, real Sfaradit. And he wanted to duchen every day. He had a lot of things that he didn't go along with the killer, so they couldn't take it, so they kicked him out of Frankfurt. So when he left Frankfurt, so the Chasam Sofer was a teenager, so he moved along with him. But later in life, he became the rabbi in Presburg, that's in Hungary. I don't think this is a Yekish minute. It must be a Hungarian minute, not to learn Hilchos Aveilus, a Simen Rav. So Leitchik didn't have that minute. He says his meaning is like it says in Sefer Hasidim, that it's a special mitzvah to learn Perek Elu Megalchem. It's a mace mitzvah. So there's a Gemara in the third Perek in Ma'itkot, Perek Elu Megalchem, that sounds like it says that the reason why a regular kohen is metame lo yitama, a regular kohen is metame to the seven relatives, because that's nihug avelus. So the kohen gadol doesn't observe avelus. The Gemara has a lashon just like Yisrael baregel. If someone dies on Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, the relatives do not observe Avelus on Yom Tov Chol HaMoed. So too, the Kohen Gadol all year long, Ki Yisrael Baregel Dom, the Kohen Gadol all year long doesn't observe Avelus. That's a simple pshat in Gemara. There's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam says the Kohen Gadol observes Avelus like everybody else does. That's against the Gemara. So the Achronim raised that question. They don't really give a satisfactory answer. But that's the Poshim Shat and the Chumash. The reason why the Kohen Gadol is not Metame to the Zayin Karevim is because the fact that any relative is Metame to the Zayin Karevim, Kam Chamurahi Mitzvah Sabel Shinditchis Babanel Yisin Tumas Kohanim, because of the mitzvah of Avelus. So the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. What kind of a lashon is that? Kohen Gadol all year long, he saw Baregel Domi. Just like you saw Baregel on Yontem, you know, if one doesn't observe Avelus, the Kohen Gadol all year long doesn't observe. What's the connection? Why is it Kohen Gadol all year long you saw Baregel Dom? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, the Gemara says, why you saw Baregel? Why is there no Nihug Avelus, you saw Baregel? Because on Regel there's a mitzvah of Simcha, Samachta B'chagecha, and Simcha and Avelus are a tarte disastri. So what do you do when you have a conflict between the two? When you have an essay and a lois essay, so sometimes we have a klal. Essay decha lois essay. But you have an essay with an essay. Mayul mehai essay mehai essay. How do you decide which essay is more important? The Gemara says, osi essay de rabbi, medochi essay de yochid. Essay of Simchas Yontev is that all of klal yisos mechiv to be misameach an Yontev. The essay of Avelis is only the members of the family. Evel yochid asiloch. Avelus is a mitzvah only for the Yechidim. So if you have a conflict between two Essen, one is an Essen Diachib, one is Essen Dirabim, the Essen Dirabim wins. The Gemara says that's the reason why Yisrael Baregel doesn't observe Avelus. You wait till after Yontav is over, and then they observe the Shiva and the Avelus. So what does that have to do with the Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol all year long is Yisrael Baregel. What's the comparison? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested pshat in the Gemara is like this. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash that the role of the Kohen Gadol is to be kvoda b'sefarta, but the Kohen Gadol is to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long to supervise HaKrovos HaKarbonos. So to be in Beis HaMikdash all day long, that itself is mechayev and simcha. Because simcha is always esmachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem. When one is lefnei Hashem, then there's a mitzvah of simcha. When one is in Avelus, he's not lefnei Hashem. So just like you saw Baregel, the Zechiyah Baliyah Baregel, Sholosh we call them, have to be lefnei Hashem. So that's what engenders the Chiyah of Simcha. I Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no Aliyah LeRegel. So where's the lefnei Hashem there? So Rav Soloveitchik quoted the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, says, special din, that Tkiya Shofar came into the Zikaron Ka'asi Kelefnim Dami. Since the purpose of Tkiya Shofar is Minizkartem Lefnei Hashem Alakech, we should be remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's considered a form of davening. Tkiya Shofar is a form of davening. So it's considered as if we are in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Even if you're in New York, when you hear the Tkiya Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, it's considered as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So that's Lefnei Hashem. And Yom Kippur, the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva that there's a chiyuv to do tshuva all year long, but on Yom Kippur there's an extra chiyuv to do tshuva. What do you mean, extra chiyuv? So they have to discuss that, what is added on, halach lamaisa. But there's a separate chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam writes in the Shemayna Prokim, the Hakdomet, the Pirish HaMishnayis, on Pirkei Avos, is known as the Shemayna Prokim. It has 8 short chapters. So the Rambam writes, when a person does Averis, the Psukim in Yecheskel describe it as if there's a Chaimas Barzel, as if there's an iron curtain. They used to call when Russia was under the communists, so they didn't allow anyone to come in, they didn't allow anyone to leave. They called it the Iron Curtain. That expression comes from Novi Yecheskel, Chaimas Barzel. So the Novi Yecheskel describes when a person does Averis as if there's a Chaimas Barzel between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we all have a chiv to do tshuva, to remove that Chaimas Barzel, to return back to the state of being Lefnei Hashem. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested, that maybe the Chiyav Simcha and Sholosh Regolim is because we are all Mechuyav to be Oyle Regal. Even though it's only a Rok Kozachorcha, the men are Mechuyav, the women are not Mechuyav. But usually the women also went. So the whole Klal Yisrael is supposed to be Lefnei Hashem and Sholosh Regolim. And even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no Chiyav Ali Oyle Regal. Maybe Rosh Hashanah, because Tkir Shofar came into the Zikaron Kos and Kilifnim Dami. So you lefnei Hashem, and on Yom Kippur, because there's a special chiyuv tshuva, so that's also to become lefnei Hashem. So maybe that's what it means. Kain Gadol kol hashana ki yisol baregel dami kaishan. Kain Gadol all year long is b'chiyuv to be. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash kvoda b'sefartai, the role of the Kain Gadol, he should be in the Beis HaMikdash all day and all night. He has to go to sleep. He has to live with his wife and his family. But to the extent that it's possible, he's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash all the time to be Lefnei Hashem. So maybe that's why the Kohen Gadol always has a Chiyuv Simcha. And whenever one is in Lefnei Hashem, that engenders a Chiyuv Simcha. And because of the Chiyuv Simcha, it's Osi Esi Derabim, Vedochi Esi Diyochi. He never observes Avelus. The problem is the Rambam says not so. The Rambam says Kohen Gadol observes regular Avelus. That's a difficult Rambam. The Pashtus and Nimrod, the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus. That's why he's not metamic to the Zayin Kroyim. Being metamic to the Zayin Kroyim is a form of Nihu Gavelus. then the Torah has a din. A kohen as a balmum is not allowed to be makir of karbanos. He is permitted to eat truma, but he's not allowed to be makir of karbanos. And then there's a din next parsha. If you have a korban that has a mum, you're not allowed to be makir of that. The Gemara says it's shared in common. The din of mum applies to the kohen or makir of the karbanos and to the animal itself, to the karbanos. Din of mum only passes by behemoths. Thank you, thank you. Din of mum doesn't pass by ufos. By oaf, there's a din mechusa raver. Let's say the oaf is missing a toe, or the oaf is missing an eye, or a wing is broken. So that's a special din. That's not because it's a different shear of balmum. The Gemara says it's a different din. You only have pidyon by a korban, only has pidyon if it develops a mum kavua. Oif doesn't have any pidyon, even if it has mechusarev. So the Rishonim say that Bala Atai say, because mechusarev is a different psul. Hakaveh nolafecha secha, but the pasuk only says tamim korban, it should be tamim, shouldn't have a mum, only by behemoth. By yoifis, there's no concept of balmum. That's why ain't pidyon la'if. There's a Mishnah in Bukhairis. The Mishnahis in Bukhairis have a long, gory details about what's considered a balmum by a kohen, what's considered a balmum by the behema. So then the Mishnah has, if a kohen is a lefty, he's puzzled to do avodah. So Rashi on the Mishnah has a few pshat. So one pshat, a kohen is a lefty, is a balmum. Balmum? A kohen is a lefty, is a balmum. So there used to be a young man who learned here in the yeshiva, now he's a Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. So he used to kibitz about that Rashi, that there's a Gemara, whatever is considered a mum for Kohanim, it says it's considered a mum if you get married. And you see the wife, I never realized that the wife has, she's missing a finger, or something like that. So that's a Kiddush HaTois. So he said, you mean if you marry a girl, it turns out that she's a lefty? So it's Kiddush HaTois. Speak of it, then you don't have to pair the ksuba when you divorce. How can it be? That's ridiculous. So Rashi has another pshat. The Pasha pshat is that it's not a din of balmum. The Mishnah has another din. Ein shava bizar shalarin. There's something irregular. A lefty is a little bit irregular, so he's not allowed to do avodah, not because of balmum. Ein shava bizar shalarin. The third pshat of Rashi is, no, it's not a balmum. It's not called ein shava bizar shalarin. It's a different reason. The avodah has to be done b'min. You have to do the avodah b'min. B'min means this hand on this side of the body, and has to be the stronger arm. If he's a lefty, so he doesn't have yamin. Has to be the right side of the body, has to be the stronger arm. There are three pshatim. Why is a kohen who's a lefty can't do avoid on the Beis HaMikdash? The pasuk lists off the mumim by behemoth. So the Gemara points out from the pasuk it would appear if the behemoth has a mum over. A mum that's going to get better by itself. So you're not allowed to be makir with the korban calls mum that has the mum. When it heals, it gets better by itself. Then you're allowed to be makir. So the Gemara seems to imply, the mashmos of the pasuk is, it's only if the animal has a mum over, when it gets better, you can be makir. If it has another reason why you can't be makir with it, then we would say, hol minitche yidoche. That's Gemara's in different Masechta. There's a little bit in Kiddush in the first parak. And in Zvachim Alat, and in Yuma, different Masechta. It's in the Pesach, Ho'ov and Itche Yidoche. If you have a korban, and you're not able to be makrovit, because the Mizbech is Nivka. The Mizbech has to be a square. So part of the Mizbech fell apart. So any korbanos that were there before the Mizbech was Nifkam, become Pasul, and even after you fix the Mizbech, it can't be Makar of the Karban. Where did they get this from? Where is the Pasul? So the Tosfos Yishonim and Yuma say it's based on the Mashmos of the Pesukim here in Terei Sedra, that the Torah says if you have a Karban that has a Mum Oiver, when the Mum heals by itself, then you can be Makar of the Karban, calls Man that has the Mum, you can't be Makar of it. And if it would have been a different psul other than a mumayver, even after the psul would go away, the sefer of psul would go away, you would say, "Hol minitchi yidoche." So why is Balmum different? So the Tanoim had a machlokes why. So one opinion, that's the opinion we accept. One opinion is because Balachai made a nidoch. Since the animal is still alive, there's no dichoy balive animals. The din of dichoy only sets in after you did avoda mishoina, after you did the shechita. It's not because live animals, dead animals. The ritvua in the beginning of first perek in Kiddushin says that there's a parallel. Balachai meidim didochem is by animals. So the parallel by a mincha would be there would be a din of dichoy by a mincha. But only after the kmitza. Before you do the avodah rishayna of kmitza, there's no psul of dichoy. It's not because balachai made him dochem, because the balachai doesn't have the full kedusha. When I designate hareza shlamim, hareza oila, hareza chatos, so it gets a kedusha guf lamizbeach. But when, after you do avodah rishayna, then it has a kedusha's korban, has a deeper kedusha. So the same is true by mincha. When you put the mincha in a klisharis, it gets a kedusha guf lamizbech, but it doesn't yet have the kedusha's carbon until you do the avodah rishayna. Avodah rishayna is kmitza. There's a long Rashi in the beginning of the second perek in Soito, where Rashi explains a long tosefta there. It's quoted in the first daf in the second perek in Soito that there are dalat avodas by a mincha that are parallel to the dalat avodas adam by all karbonas. There are dalat avodas adam that are ma'akev. There are a lot of things in Karbonis that are not Miyakev. Let's say Akhtoris Eimurim, Hefshit, Nituach. All that is not Miyakev. But the things that are Miyakev are the Dalar Avodis Adam, Shchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. So by Mincha, there are four Avodis that are parallel to those four. So Rashi explains that the Kemitza is the Avodah Rishonah by the Mincha, just like Shchita is the Avodah Rishonah. What Shchita is Mavarech Eluk Avoya? You're going to be Zorik the Dam. Shchita, if you would have asked me, I would have said, what's the definition of the avodah of shchita? You kill the animal. Rashi says, wrong. You kill the animal, that's shchita schulin. Definition of shchita by kochim is an avodah is, you're separating the dam that you're going to be zorek on the mizbech. It's avodah sadam. It's not avodah in the animal. It's shchita that you have to do shchita to be able to eat it. But shchita is an avodah is because it's mevarech el gavosa. We do kmitza. And you're separating the komets from the shiori hamincha. That's parallel to avoda of shchita. Then after you do that, you have to do the kmitza when the mincha is in a klisharis. Then when you take out the komets, you have to put it into another klisharis. That's like kabbalah sadam. When you shecht an animal, a kohen has to hold the klisharis under the neck of the animal to collect the dam. It's kabbalah sadam. So just like this, kabbalah sadam to add Kedusha on top of Kedusha, the animal already had Kedusha before. But when you makabal the dam in a klisharis, the dam gets a higher level of Kedusha. The same as when you do kmitza, you take the chelek gavoya, the comments, and you put it into another klisharis. Then you have halacha sadam, so you have halacha sakomets. Then you have zrika sadam, the parallel is haktara sakomets. So that's the ritva in the beginning of Rosh, Kedushin has like that. He has a chiddush that if you hold balachai made in the dochem, it even applies to a mincha koidim kmitza. Balachai made in the dochem is not because it's a live animal, because he didn't do avodah rishona yet. So by a mincha, avodah rishona is the kmitza. So before the kmitza, there wouldn't be a din of dichoy. Dichoy is a lot of gemara said about dichoy. So the whole mokar, that's what the Tosfos Shonim and Yuma says, the whole mokar. The whole institution of Dicha is based on, the Gemara never says where it's learned that from. Where is the Makar Chumash? He says, it's based on the Pasuk. Ki mashchasa bahem mum bam calls man that has a mum over, you can't be makar with it. After the mum will heal by itself, then you'll be able to be makar with it. And this is the exception to the rule. Usually if there's a reason why you can't be makar with it, you say Dicha. And the mum over is the exception to the rule. So that's the machlekes satanaim. Why is it an exception to the rule? So we said because Balachai made him nidoch. The other Tana says no, Balachai ma nidoch. Only Mum Oiver is the exception to the rule. So the Torah has this is shared in common. The Behema that's a korban and the Kohen who's doing the Akrobus Akorban. You can't have a Balmum not in the Behema, not in the Kohen. And there's another thing, the Kohen cannot be Tomei. But the Kohen is Tomei, he can't be Makarenik Abonis. You can't have a parallel. The behemoth can't be tummy. A live animal can't be tummy. If you shech the animal, then it's royal achilas adam. So then it can be mekabel tumah. So then there's another din. You're not allowed to be makor of a korban that's tameh on the mizbech if it was mekabel tumah after shechita. While it's alive, it can't be mekabel tumah. The Torah has a din that a kohen who is tameh who goes to mikveh 4 o'clock in the afternoon is still tameh. He's not allowed to eat truma. Uvo Hashemesh v'toher. This first daf in brachas. Until Biyashimsha, until Hira Shemesh. Whenever he goes to mikveh, let's say he could have gone to mikveh a month ago, but he doesn't go till today. You have to go wait till Hira Shemesh following the going to the mikveh. Years ago, there used to be a big Talmud Chacham in Herzl of Zevin. He was the first editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudit. He made a list of topics. They didn't add too many more topics. He made a list, I think, 2,000 some odd topics, and that's the encyclopedia. He's going to cover all those topics. It's still, they're only halfway done. Now, halfway done, they finished 50 volumes, have to do another 30 volumes. They have everything is written already, but they have to touch it up. So, Rav Zevin was the one who did a lot of work. So there was a period of time that he used to write almost every week. He would write up, the Mizrahi had their own newspaper years ago, Hatzofer. I think they went out of business a long time ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So he used to write a book review every week for a few years in Hatzofer. Every week a new sefer came out. So he would make a book review on a new sefer. So he would write what's good about the book, what's no good about the book, full of mistakes. It's probably that, I'm guessing, that was never reprinted. He had 3 volumes of book reviews called Sofrim Svarim. All the other Svarim by Rav Zevin were printed except for that. Maybe because he felt bad, because every so often in a book review he rips apart the book. The guy didn't know how to learn. He didn't know this, and often a Pasuk, and often a Mishnah, and often a Din Shulchan Aruch. Maybe that's why he never reprinted it. So he has one of the Svarim that he writes a review on. The guy had a Chiddush that you can be Yotzei the Harav Shemesh before you go to Mikveh. If you wait a month to go to mikveh, then he can eat the truma right away after he goes to mikveh. He doesn't have to wait to have harishamish after going to mikveh. He already had harishamish. So he said, that's against all the mishnayos. That's wrong. It's against the pasuk. Bo hashemish v'toher. The harishamish has to take place after the person goes to mikveh. Then it says, the kohenim should be careful. Nevela trefa lo yocha l'tama avo. A trefa is not metame. A trefa that if you shechted it, shechitas trefa is metame de nevela. What do you mean nevela trefa leyochel atomavo? No one's allowed to eat nevela trefa. It's because it's not kosher. What has got to do with Torah? So Rashi explains based on from the Sifra, this is alluding to the institution of nivla seif tohar metame abes ablia. And I've taught me an eagle, the American eagle is treif, is not kosher. So even if you shecht it, you can't eat it. So there's a din nivla seif tohar. If you have a chicken that if is a kosher bird, if you would have shecht it, it would have been muta b'achila. So if you didn't shecht it and you swallow it, so nivla seif tohar metame abes avliya. So that's only nivela treif. If it's an animal, a kosher animal, that sometimes would be also b'achila because of a treifa. A non-kosher bird, you forget about treifa. It's a non-kosher, it's an eagle, it's not kosher to begin with. So nevela, if you have a nivla seif tohar, and you swallow it, it's metame abes ablia, it's a chiddush. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Rambam, and Rav Yosef Engel has in his sefer, Asman Deraisa, they lived the same time, they died around the same time. After the First World War, 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago. So they both have the same essay. There's a fundamental machlekes harishayim. What's the nature of nivla seif tohar metame abes avliya? So one opinion is that it's a tumas maga. But usually maga beis hastorim doesn't count. Here it's metame mi b'maga. If I have it in my mouth, it's not metame, only when I swallow it. Only when it's in the beis avliya. Maga beis hastorim, an exception to the rule. The other shita is, no, it's not that maga beis hastorim. It's achila. If you do achila on it, then it's metame. The difference is, what if you swallow the half a gazais now, half a gazais later? So if it's toked achila's pras, it's one big achila, then it'll be metame. But if it's metame b'toras mago, then you have to have the whole kazayis b'vasachas. If I touch a half a kazayis of a mace and another half a kazayis of a mace, it's not metame. I have to have the full kazayis together. And then that's where Rav Chaim has the two shitas and rishonim. There Rav Yosef Engel dug up a tesis in the last daf in the first perek in Sanhedrin. The tesis says that nivlas of tametame beis avliya is tumas maso. Not Tumas Maga, it's Tumas Masa. But that's the Mokka. The Vela Trefel Yochel Tomavo is the Mokka for the institution of Nivla Saftor Metameh Abbeis Abliyah. Then the Torah has a difference between an Eved Kanaini, Eved Ivri. Eved Kanaini shall coin as Echel the Truma. Eved Ivri shall coin as Ein Echel the Truma. So that's the question, why? So Taisus understood the Gemara to say that when you have an Eved Ivri, there's no Kinyan Issa. There's only a Kinyan Mammon. If you have an Eved Kanaini, there's both a Kinyan Mammon and a Kinyan Issa. A Kinyan Issa means the fact that I own him. The fact that the Kohen owns an Eved Kanaini has an effect in Hilchas Issa v'Heter. Eved Kanaini shall Kohen is Eichel b'Tshuma. Eved Ivri shall Kohen is Eichel b'Tshuma. Aitos says, how can you say that in Eved Ivri there's no Kinyan Issa, but Eved Ivri is Muta B'Shivcha Knainis? Does not show that there is a Kinyan Issa. So Tosfos says, no, the reason why the Eved Ivri is Muta B'Shivcha Knainis is because he's Meshuvah to work for the Adam. So that's why there's no Issa. The Issa, you're not allowed to live with the Shivcha Knainis because Ein Kiddush and Tofsin, so it's a Bias Nus. You could have had Tfisis Kiddushin. You didn't have Tfisis Kiddushin. So that's a biaznus. You chose to live with the Shivcha Knainis. But the Eved Ivri is Meshuvah to the Adam. And the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk. It's Muta B'Shivcha Knainis because Meshuvah. So that's why, since it's not his choice, not he decided to have an affair with the Shivcha Knainis. The Odon requires of him. That's a Shaila, the Shara Melech, is a Chibur, a Sefer on the Rambam. So he raises that question. What's the din? Eved Ivri is Muta B'Shivcha Knainis only if Rabbah Moser lo Shivcha Knainis? What's it? The Rabbah doesn't ask him to live with the Shivcha Knainis in order to have lotus. He wants to have a good time on his own. So he wants to sleep with the Shivcha Knainis. Is that permissible? So the Shara Melech raises the question. So the Pashtus is, it's a Mefurish and Machloikis between the Ramban and the Bali HaTaisa. The Bali HaTaisa say, he's not Mutar on his own, he's only in the line of duty. Ki Mishnes Chasach HaRabotcha, Eved Ivri has to work twice as hard as anybody else. He's Eved's Rabbi Bayom HaBalaylo. Bayomi does whatever work the Odin wants. And Balayla, the Odin has a right to be Moser lo Shivcha Knainis. But on his own, Tyson says he's also B'Shivcha Knainis. And the Ramban says Mefurish in Kiddush in the first parak. That he's Mutar on his own B'Shivcha Knainis. Ramban says that there is a Kinyan Isar at Eved Ivri. Machlok is Tyson and the Ramban. Then the Torah has a din. If a girl is a Baskoyan, she's Ocheles B'Truma. But then if she goes and marries a non-Koyin, Baskoyin Kisil Yish Zar, if she marries a non-Koyin, then calls man that she's married to the non-Koyin, she's not allowed to eat truma. If she was married to a non-Koyin and her husband dies, he divorces her, and Vizera Einlah, she doesn't have any children from the husband, the non-Koyin. Then Mishavel Beisavikin, she's permitted to go back and eat truma. So Rashi on Chumash quotes, maybe Rashi doesn't quote, so Gemara. What does it say? Mi lechem aviyah? Why didn't it just say lechem aviyah techel? Mi lechem aloi kol lechem. She's permitted chazeres lechuma. Eno chazeres lechaze v'shok. The Bas Koyin, who's married to a non-Koyin, she gets divorced and the husband dies, she's permitted to go back to eat chuma, but she's not allowed to eat. She's not allowed to eat chaze v'shok. Chazav Shaykh of Shlaman may only be eaten by Kohanim. So Kozman, she's a Bas Koyin, she never married a non Koyin. She's allowed to eat Chazav Shaykh. That says in the Mishnah, in Azam Koyin. The children are also, the daughters are also allowed to eat. Once she married a non-Kohen, and then she gets divorced, Chazeres v'zera ein la, so Chazeres l'truma v'ena Chazeres l'chazer v'shoik. Is there any other difference between truma and chazer v'shoik, who's allowed to eat? So the Yosameach has an interesting comment. He quotes a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, which doesn't read straight, you have to be magia it. So he thinks that the way you have magia, it should read like this, that if a girl has erisin with a kohen, a Yisraelis or Levia, she's not a kohen, she's not a bas kohen. She has erisin with a kohen. So menator arusa bas Yisrael, who's arusa to a kohen, is ochelis betruma. It's only prohibited midrabanan for two reasons. The Gemara has menafkaminis ladina, which is the correct reason. So that's arusa. A girl has erisin with a kohen menator. She's allowed to eat truma. Is she allowed also to eat chazav v'shoik? So the Yor Sameach thinks that there's a miss. He thinks there's a Yerushalmi that doesn't read straight, and he thinks the Hagoah should read that Arusa is Minatora, not allowed to eat Chazav Hashoik. She's only allowed to eat an Arusa, the Koyin, only allowed to eat Truma Minatora. Mid Rabbana, not allowed to eat the Truma to Achit Tikonis Lechupa. Chazav Hashoik, she's not allowed to eat. Just like the Chazal said over here, Milechem Avi, Milechem Eloi Kol Lechem, it's more Chomer, more restricted, who's allowed to eat Chazav Hashoik. So now the nafkamin would be benegir to arusa. It's a chiddush. Just this Shabbos, I gave the shira on this pasuk. If a non-koyin eats truma b'mezid, it's an oynish misa b'day shamay. So if a non-koyin eats truma b'shoig, he needs a kapora. He has to give keren b'chaymish, and the chaymish, the Gemara says, is kapora. There are three types of chiyuv mamon: is mamon and knas and kapora. So the Gemara has a discussion regarding kofer. Ashor amuad kills an adam. So the Baal Ashor for the fourth time. Ashor amuad killed already three people, and then it kills a fourth time. So the Baal Ashor has to pay kofer. So the Gemara has a discussion with the kofer. A minor kofer kapora, and we pass the kofer kapora. Where did they get this whole idea that there's a tashlumin that's kapora? So Tosfos says the original mocker is chaymish over here, because the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos chaymish is to misa b'day shamayim. Azar she'ochal truma b'mezid is misa b'day shamayim. So azar she'ochal truma b'shegin eats a kapora. So paying the kerem chaymish is the kapora, says. Chaimish is the Misa B'dei Shamayim, as Chatas is the Koris. If a person does an Avera B'mezid, and he's Chayv Koris, if he does that Avera B'shegeg, he needs a Kapor by bringing a Chatas. So the Gemara makes an equation between the two. Chaimish is the Misa B'dei Shamayim, just like Korban Chatas is to Koris. What's the significance of declaring Chaimish a kapora, and declaring kofer, and Sharmod killed the fourth time, kofer, kufra kapora, what's a nafkamina? So Tosfos has a whole long list of nafkaminas halacha lamais. So one nafkamina they has is that there's no kamla b'dirabmina. Another nafkamina they have is that there's no mechila. Momen eknas is a chiyah bin adam haver, I owe you money, so you have the right to be mechum. But if I'm chuyiv to give chaymish for kapore, or my shahamud killed an adam, and I'm chuyiv to pay kofer, kofer is a chiyiv lashamayim. The Torah says the way to get kapore lashamayim is by giving money to the other, to the kohen. But it's not a chiyiv ben adam achaver, it's a chiyiv ben adam lamakim. So he's not a balabas to be meichel. The Torah proves all of these. Kam levi d'rabbanei doesn't apply, and there's no mechila. Chila doesn't work. Then Tosfos has another nafkamina, also based on Gemara, another nafkamina, ein kapora lameisim. If a person died, and while he was alive, he had violated, he ate on Yom Kippur b'shogeg, ate chametz b'pesach b'shogeg, and he set aside a korban chatos. Once he dies, en kapor lameisim. He can't bring the korban chatur. En kapor lameisim. So Tosh says the same over here. Let's say, a non-kohen ate truma b'shogeg. Has to be mafresh keramachoymish and give it to the kohen. What if he died before he had a chance to give it to the kohen? Are the children obligated? The children yarshin karka from the father. Are the children obligated to pay the debt? So the Gemara said the fairish, no. En kapor lameisim. He has to pay an amount of money that has the status of a kapora. It is governed with the rule of en kapora lames, with another around 6 or 7, 8 nafkaminis ledina. There's a gemara baba kama that erecha nema bisurim applies to kapora. Usually, to be mechayev someone mammon, you need to aid him, but by kapora, the gemara says erecha is good. Shita mukubet says there in baba kama, quotes some rishonim say that once you get to the maskana, we reject that. Eidech would not be believed. But it doesn't say in the Gemara. Other Rishonim hold that it does remain halacha l'maisa. Eidech would be believed to be mechayev a person, a chiyuv mamon. That's a kapara. And the Torah has the parsha of Moadim. You have 3 parshas in the Chumash that have parshas of Moadim. You have Emor as the Issa Malocha, and Pinchas has the Musafim, and Parshas Rei has the Mitzvahs Protigos. So it says 3 times. Elam Yared Hashem Asher Tikru Oisam, and all 3 times the word Oisam is written Achosa Vov. So the Tanai made a drasha all 3 times. Atem Asher Tikru Oisam Achosa Vov. Atem. So Rashi quotes part of the Torah's Kohanim. Why do you need it twice? It's written 3 times. I said, why do you need it twice? Asher tikru oisam atem, atem afilu mutim. Even if Bezin made a mistake by declaring today as Rosh Chodesh, really should have declared tomorrow as Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi says it's written twice because atem afilu mutim applies both to Kiddush HaChodesh and to Ibur HaShana. It applies to both. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds like that. So that's the Minchas Chinuch has a long discussion on the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, on the Pasuk HaChodesh Azal Lachem. I think it's mitzvah Dalit, no? How many mitzvahs are there? Bereshis. You have the mitzvah of Bris Milah, mitzvah of Pir Berivya, and you have the mitzvah of Gid Anasha. There are only 3 mitzvahs in all Chumash Bereshis. So then the 4th mitzvah, I think, is the mitzvah HaChodesh Azal Lachem Resh Chadoshim. The mitzvah Kviyas Haluach, the Rambam has. Both together, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana, according to the Rambam, was one big mitzvah of Kviyas Haluach. So the Menachas Chinuch there discusses it. There is a Gemara in the first Perek and Sanhedrin that sounds as if it says that if the Bezin HaGadol made a mistake in declaring Shanim Uberes, that the Psak is not binding. As if the Din of Atem Afilu Mutim only applies to Kiddush HaChodesh and doesn't apply to Ibur HaShana. So that's the Shana. What do you do with this Sifra that Rashi quotes? That it's written twice, it's really written 3 times. Rashi only quotes 1 part of it. It's written Asher Tikru Oisam Chasavav twice. Once goes on Kiddush HaChodesh and once goes on Ibur HaShana. The Bezin can make a month with 27 days or a month with 35 days. Just a toss up 29 days or 30 days. You can't have a year with 15 months or with 10 months. Yeah, either have a year with 12 months or 13 months. So, but within that range, even if the Bezin made a mistake, so that's the din. Atem afilu mutim, and if they made a mistake, the Kiddush HaChodesh is chal. And Kol HaTorah Kula, the other 612 mitzvahs in the Torah, if the Bezin made a mistake, the Psak is not binding. Only one mitzvah with a mistake is chal. The Psak is binding even in Erev. It's Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana. So that's the Shaila. How can it be that by Ibur HaShana you say, Atem afilu mutim, even the Bez Nagorl made a mistake? There's a Beferish Gemara in Sanhedrin that if they made a mistake, the Ibur HaShana is not Chal. So what do you do with this Sifra? And it's Reb Yehuda, the same time, the Stam Sifra Reb Yehuda. There it's Reb Yehuda, also in the end of the first Perek in Sanhedrin. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a knockout answer. I thought it was a gewaldic answer. He said, when you make Ibur HaShana, It's clear in the Gemara based on Tosefta and Sanhedrin. You have to say Shana Zul Muberes, and you have to incorporate in the Psak the reason why we're making a Shana Muberes. So you say Shana Zul Tehei Muberes because one example the Gemara has, because there was a lot of flooding on the highways, and hundreds of Jews are traveling from Chutz Lortz to come to Eretz Yisrael to bring Korban Pesach, and they invested time, effort, energy, money to travel. And because of the flooding on the highways, they're not going to make it for Pesach. So we declare Shana Zu Tehei Muberes, so they'll have another 30 days to come. Make all of Klal Yisrael today, you'll foul up the whole economy. What do you mean? The hotels are renting out rooms. The caterers, all the weddings. You just can't postpone Pesach a month, but the days of the Tanoim. They didn't plan ahead. Someone called me on the phone. What was the shaila? His wife is a nurse, and she does work in a hospital on cornea transplants, and she's going to have to be in the hospital to do the cornea transplants on Shivasa B'Tammuz. Shivasa B'Tammuz on a Thursday, and if she's fasting, she won't be able to do a good job. So she wants to know she's allowed to eat on Shivasa B'Tammuz. I don't even know when Tammuz is. I don't even know what I'm doing next week. She's worried about what's going to be. Shavuot with Thomas on a Thursday. Is it true? I don't even know if it's true. That's what he said. Shavuot with Thomas on a Thursday, and she's worried what's going to be. But yeah, today people plan ahead, years in ahead. You can't do it like that. So the Gemara says, whenever you make Yibra Hashanah, you have to give the reason why. You have to say Shana Zutei Muberes, because it's not yet the spring season. It's still winter, and Pesach has to be a Chodesh
Aviv. What did Rebbe tell the woman? Can she eat or not?
She should try to switch it. She says she's already stuck. She can't switch it. Now, till Shavuos of Adam, she can't switch it. Strictly speaking, fasting on the other Tanesim is only a minig. The Gemara says, Ratzah Masanim, Ratzah Masanim, it's optional. And the minig is that we all fast. So if she's doing surgery, even though it's not Sakonis Nefoshes, the Pashtus is that she should not fast. I remember every other summer there's a war in Eretz Yisrael in the summertime. So I remember one summer, probably 20, 30 years ago, there was a war in Eretz Yisrael. So in the 9 days, the Ashkenazim have a meaning, we don't eat meat. So by mistake, the army sent fleshig meals to the soldiers on the front in Lebanon. So the former soldiers didn't want to eat. Not going to eat. They didn't have melech. They didn't have anything else to eat. They only have flesh meal. So the chief rabbi had to send him a message, you must eat, you must eat. You're defending the country. If you're going to fast Tanesim, he won't be able to function fully. So here also, if you're doing surgery, even though you can do it over again, that's not right. Do surgery, you have to be 100% there. Anyway, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. When do you say Kiddush HaChodesh a mistake, Yibra Hashanah a mistake is Chal? That's when we say, we declare today is Rosh Chodesh. What do we say? We declare today this is Hashanah Muberes because of this reason, and the reason is wrong. So the whole Pesach has an error incorporated into the Pesach. So then the Toyas cancels the Pesach. But if they say Shamah Zutei Muberes and you don't give the reason why, usually they did give the reason why. But if they didn't give the reason why, then it'll be chal even mitos. The Yad Gemara in Nazir like that. It says b'feirush, whatever the mistake, Naziris b'tois is the machlokes, b'shamah b'zil, and even if you hold like b'shamah, Naziris b'tois is chal, it's only if the mistake wasn't in the Kabbalah on Naziris. But if there's a mistake in Eyubay, m'zuyim b'toichai, then even b'shamah agreed that it's not chal. There's a practice in Eretz Yisrael that people don't rip kriya if they go to the Kosel Ma'arava on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. So all the poskim say that it's a mistake. And the pashtus is, where does the mistake come from? It comes from the posik in today's Sedra. It says, Erev Pesach in the afternoon is Chag HaPesach. That's when you bring the Korban Pesach. After Erev Pesach, after Chatzos. Then what we call Pesach is in the Chumash, that's called Chag HaMatzos. Not called Chag HaPesach, it's Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So the Ramah in Hilchas Avelus quotes the Ur Zarua, that if one is in the middle of Shiva and then it comes Yontif, so Yontif cancels the rest of the Shiva. So an Erev Pesach et Chatzais, that's already a Yontif. Erev Pesach in the afternoon is a Yontif of Chag HaPesach that cancels Shiva. So despite the fact that Tosfos in Zvachim Daf Kuf disagrees with the Ur Zarua, Zarua was a later Bala Tosfos. Zarua was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg, it was the Rebbe of the Rosh. That was the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos. So even though the Tosfos in Zvachim says not so, it's a machlokes among the Balei HaTosfos. And we paskin that whenever there's a machlokes in Hilchas Avelus, halacha k'dibur mekel bo, whenever there's any sofik in Avelus, you go to Kula, even if it's Yochid Keneged Rabbim, even if it's the Rabbim say Lechumra, and the minority opinion is Lekula, so the din is that you go to Kula. Any sofik in Avelus, you go to Kula. So many had a practice that on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontem, when someone's sitting Shiva, when it comes Chatzos, you call it quits. Many had the practice. I remember I went to be Menachem Olu once, a certain member of the board, member of the Reitz board, 50 years ago. So he was sitting Shiva. So I used to share the office with Rabbi Sal Roth, this Balbos Davin and Sal Roth Shul. So he told me that the Balbos is friendly with me, so I should go be Menachem Olu. So I went to his home. He wasn't there. Friday afternoon, he wasn't there. He went to work. Friday was the middle of the Shiva. He was going to have to sit Shiva Sunday, Monday, Tuesday also. Efter Chatzos, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. You call it quits. That's a mistake from Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, Chatzos, there are more paskins like the Ur Zarua, but that's Dina Ki Yontif, so the Avelus is terminated at Chatzos. It doesn't apply to every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. So the same is true regarding ripping Kriya. The Mishnah says that if someone dies on Chol HaMoed, the relatives rip Kriya. If I'm very friendly with someone and he dies, if I choose to, I can rip Kriya as voluntarily. I can sit Shiva voluntarily if a dear friend dies. So that says in the Mishnah, if a dear friend dies and I want to rip Kriya, you don't rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed. But if one of the relatives is mechuyav to rip kriya, do rip kriya chol hamoed. In Shulchan Aruch they quote, the yekes have a minig that on chol hamoed they only rip kriya if it's a parent who died, but if it's any other relative, they don't rip kriya. The minig is against the din. It's against the Mishnah. So then in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, if you're a yeke, you follow that minig, even though it's against the Mishnah. But if you're not a yeke, you shouldn't adopt that minig because it's really against the din. So then the Magen Avraham says, when do you say that you don't rip Kriya on Chala, that you do rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed if you're mechuyev to? It's only Kriya if someone dies. What about Kriya for the Kaisel HaMaravi? Haroya Beis HaMikdash B'chobana, or Yehuda B'chobana, Yerushalayim B'chobana. So that Kriya is a Nihu Gavelus, and that you don't do on Chol HaMoed. So that's the same. Erev Pesach in the afternoon is like Chol HaMoed, it's a Yontif. So Kriya on the Kaisel HaMaravi you wouldn't do on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. But every other Erev Shabbos, every other Erev Yontif, you do rip Kriya, because Kriya Lechud, Babelus Lechud. You rip Kriya for a relative, even a Chol HaMoed, but Kriya for the Kaisel HaMaravi, that you don't rip a Chol HaMoed. So Erev Pesach in the afternoon is Dinuk a Chol HaMoed, that you wouldn't rip Kriya by the Kaisel HaMaravi. But every other Erev Shabbos, every other Erev Yontif after Chatzos, you do Rib Kriya. So the Pischei Tshuva writes, that's a mistake. Pischei Tshuva and Yerudei writes, it's a mistake that a lot of people don't observe Avelus on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif after Chatzos. It's a mistake. Here in the neighborhood, for many years, Rabbi Schwab was the rabbi in Breuer's community. So whenever someone from the Kehillah would be sitting Shiva, they all knew he's going to come to be Menachem Oval on Friday afternoon after Chatzos. That was Yodua. Is going to come to emphasize that they have to sit Shiva till late in the afternoon. That's a mistake. So they're not ripping Kriya by the Kaisel HaMaravi on Erev Shabbos. That's mamash a mistake. Yeah, the shaila is like this. It comes up all the time. Every day there are people who die who never died before. Every day of the year there's someone who dies. So what if someone dies and they bury him on Erev Pesach in the afternoon? So if you began the Shiva before Yontif, then Yontif cancels the rest of Shiva. If you didn't begin Shiva, let's say, Kavis Mesa Borego, you buried someone on Chalamoy, then you have to begin Shiva after you don't begin Shiva on Pesach. You begin the Shiva after Yontif is over. So what if they buried someone Erev Pesach in the afternoon? So the common practice is that the family sits Shiva, and then Yontov comes and it cancels the rest of the Shiva. But the Pashtus really should have been that they don't. If we say Halach Gedeva Lekel Ba'avol, some Achlekes Taisvis in the Oz Arua, whether Erev Pesach in the afternoon has a din, Chaga Pesach is a Yontov, and you don't sit Shiva on that. So it's a Machlekes, so we say it's a suffix, and whatever this is suffix, Suffolk Avelis Lekula. So here, the minigolem is, you go Lekula whatever is in your best interest. So if the Kvura took place at Pesach in the afternoon, you sit Shiva for an hour and then you're off the hook. You don't have to sit Shiva the rest of the 7 days. The Pashta says that that's probably not right. The Pashta says, Lekula means you don't sit Shiva. And then you have to sit Shiva the full 7 days. If the Kvura was there at Pesach in the afternoon, common practice is that the people do sit Shiva for an hour, and then Yontov comes and cancels. The Pashto says they shouldn't be allowed to sit Shiva. You only sit Shiva when there's a Yediyah Vadois. You have to have Yediyah. Yediyah means Yediyah Vadois. Whenever there's a Machlaikis, that's a Sufik. Sufik, you don't sit Shiva. But that's the common practice. I think it's a mistake. Rosh Hashanah is described in the Parsha as Zichron Trua. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has this famous discussion that the Chumash describes Rosh Hashanah at one time as Yom Truah and one time Zichron Truah. So which is it a day on which you actually blow Shofar, or a day Zichron Truah, you talk about Kiyo Shofar? So the Gemara gives, the Bavli quotes Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. This is a chunk of Yerushalmi. Bavli quotes Chachmei Eretz Yisrael that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then you don't blow Shofar, you just talk about Kiyo Shofar. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on the weekdays, then you actually blow Shofar. So then the Yerushalmi leaves it like that. Sounds like it's a din deraisa. The Rosh Hashanah Cholis b'Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. And the Bavli says that it's not correct. That it's only a gzera midrabbanan shemei avirena dalalamis b'shusarem. So according to the Bavli, that it's rejected. So what do you do with the pasuk zichron trua? What does it mean? So one of the early achronim, sefer halachas ketanis. One of the early achronim writes, no, it's a gzera d'rabban that was instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made the din d'rabban, not the blow shofar. So that's why the Chumash describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Zichron Trua, because the first Rosh Hashanah following Maimon HaSinai, according to the calculations, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and the Takana was already instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, has a collection of drushes that's called Likutei Torah. So he quotes this idea that this Gzeira the Rabba was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. So he said that's ridiculous. Everybody knows historically that all Ruba the Ruba of the Gzeiras were introduced by Zmambai Sheni, Zmambai Srishan. They didn't have any of these Gzeiras the Rabbanim. So what does it mean, Taka Zichron Trua? You talk about the Tkios. What does that mean? Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe what it means is the Gemara says you have to daven on Rosh Hashanah with Malchus Chanu Shofars. So maybe that's what it means. You have to talk about Tkiyah Shofar in the Shemoneh Esrei. We do it in Musaf. In the days of the early Talmud, they used to have Malchus Chanu Shofars in Shachris. They used to blow Shofar in the middle of Hazaras Hashatz of Shachris. They had Malchus whenever they're going to blow Shofar, that's when they had Malchus Chanu Shofars. Then the Gemara says, in the early generations, they blew shofar in Shachris. Because Riz Magdim LeMitzvah, why should you wait till Musaf? But because there was a Gzeres Hashma, the government was afraid that they were planning to organize a revolution. Because whenever they would be waging, whenever people would be fighting a war, they would blast the trumpets, they would blast the shofar. So the government thought that the Jews are blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, they're planning to rebel. So they moved the Tkiyah Shofar to Musaf. So the guards of the government saw that the davening and laning and everything, it's part of the religion. They realized that Tkiyah Shofar is not that they're rebelling against the government, it's part of the religion. Why do we still do it today? Why do we still, the Tosfos works on that. How can we still blow shofar and musaf? We should say mazal and shofar and shachris. Blow shofar then. So they says we're afraid it may happen again. It's a strange answer. But the Gemara makes the calculation, which is better, to blow shofar in shachris or musaf? So the Gemara says, on the one hand, it's better in shachris because riz magdim in the mitzvah. You should do it as early as possible. On the other hand, musaf is better because the shul is half empty in shachris. That's what the Gemara says. People come late. They come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So all the people, half the people, are going to miss the whole Tekiyas Shofar. So the Gemara says, what do you do if you have a conflict between these two? Zviz Magdim LeMitzvah requires you should blow shofar and shachris. But Berevam Hadas Melech should require really that we should blow shofar and musaf, because shachris to shul is going to be half empty. So the Gemara says, Zviz Magdim takes precedence. You really should blow shofar and shachris, even though the shul is half empty. That's what they complain. The common practice is when a couple has a baby boy and they do a pinyanat ben, so they do the pinyanat ben late in the afternoon, right before the shkia. Why don't you do it in the morning? Because we know if you have a bris in the morning, so people will show up. For some reason or another, you have a pinyanat ben, a lot of people will not show up. So they won't show up. So most of the Chaim say it's not right. You should have the pinyanat ben in the morning, Zviz Magdimim. And even though it's not going to be Beroivam Hadras Melech, Gemara says Beferi, Zviz Magdimim takes precedence over Beroivam Hadras Melech. When Napoleon was fighting all of his battles, I'll close with this. There's a big machlokes among the Hasidic Rebbes whether they should pray that Napoleon should win the war or should lose the war, because he promised to give freedom to the Jews. They'll treat the Jews with respect. So some of the Chassidish Rebbes thought we should daven that Napoleon should win. He's going to treat the Jews nicely. Emancipation for the Jews. And the Baal HaTanya with others said no. The Gemara says in Chagiga the Jews don't know how to deal with the Nisoyan of wealth or with the Nisoyan of freedom. We know how to deal with the Nisoyan of oppression. When they treat us like dirt and there's anti-Semitism, then we know how to keep the mitzvahs. When we have a lot of luxury and we have a lot of wealth, we don't know how to deal with the Nisoyan of wealth. So the first Lubavitcher Rebbe felt if the Jews will be emancipated, like Napoleon promised, we're going to give up the observance of the mitzvah. That's what happened. And all the free countries, Jews assimilate. When there's anti-Semitism, they don't let us assimilate. When there's no anti-Semitism, we assimilate. So they somehow, all the Chassidish Rebbes felt, whoever is going to blow shofar first on Rosh Hashanah, his prayers will be answered. So one of the Chassidish Rebbes told the Chassidim on such an important issue, he felt you should daven that Napoleon should win against the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he told the Chassidim that they should come to shul at the crack of dawn, and they're going to leave out all the piyutim, they're going to daven quickly, he's not going to give it Russia, and they're going to blow shofar first. That's what they thought. Whoever's going to blow shofar first, his prayers will be answered. So when he blew shofar early as possible, he felt right away that he lost. He felt that his prayers are not going to be answered. He felt as if the Lubavitcher Rebbe beat him to it. He used to call the Lubavitcher Rebbe the Litvak. So he met him a couple of months later, and he asked him, how did you succeed in blowing shofar so early? I left out all the piyutim and I didn't give a drush, and we started to crack a dawn. So the Alter Rebbe said he thought it was such an important issue, they blew shofar before davening. You don't have to wait till musaf. Blew shofar before davening. And his prayers were answered, and Napoleon lost the war. But they did give the Jews emancipation, and that's what caused a lot of assimilation. Okay, this week's Sedra is a very important Sedra. A lot of dinim. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Thank you for the water. Thank you. So we have to take a vote what we're going to learn in June's month. Everything is possible.